In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Our text is the lesson just read. Where will this all end? That's a question that you may find addressed to you in very concrete pastoral circumstances. I recall a time when I was called out where a teenager had just been taken into custody, was facing some real legal hurdles, and his parents looked at me with tortured eyes. And this was the question they had: where will this all end? They had such hopes in this son, their future that had looked so bright suddenly looked dashed. There was disappointment, terror, as it were, no future for them. Where will this all end? I've even occasionally, in a dark day in February, heard a weary seminarian ask that question. Where will this end? And I remember encouraging one young man with the suggestion that there was a very small and prosperous parish, equidistant to the ocean and the mountains, just north of Malibu, California. It would all end there, and he could look back upon his seminary days gladly. Well, it will end in an even better place. And that's what we reflect upon at the end of the church year, and what St. Matthew reflects upon for us as he quotes Jesus and his teaching, particularly in Matthew chapters 24 and 25. In chapter 24, he holds up the destruction of Jerusalem as a sort of foreshadowing of that great cosmic judgment that will come at the end of time. And then in chapter 25, he issues three parables to prepare the disciples. The first has to do with the wise and foolish virgins. Our text is the centerpiece of that chapter, and the final one has to do with the good and evil sheep. Where will it end? It's a question that includes more than our individual careers. Indeed, Jesus has a cosmic perspective. And it's that perspective that today is advancing in upon people. They are no longer certain that progress will come from the intellect of man or that progress will be the natural result of his scientific endeavors. For example, one of the most interesting current experiments is the Human Genome Project, where scientists in the laboratory are advancing swiftly in unraveling the DNA molecule and the chromosomal makeup so that potentially there will be a time not too far off when human beings can choose among various characteristics and traits of their children. When our government launched that project, it set aside a certain number of millions of dollars, about nine, to call together ethicists. And while the laboratory work is going forward fast and is making great advances, the ethical reflections are still on square one. What they face is the fundamental question of who we are as human beings. And what is our end? Is it a logical, is it a reasonable end? Or is there simply today and tomorrow the void? How strategic this parable is for us who are training to talk about the end. You see, all three of the parables presuppose that each and every one of us is of infinite significance to our Heavenly Father. Far from being a chance meeting of chromosomes and DNA consciousness, we are in the image of God, and we are by virtue of that locked into a history We cannot deny it, even if we try. And that history will one day bring us, as all three parables do, into the presence of God. And what Jesus holds up with infinite clarity to his disciples is that that end is designed by God, and at great cost to him, that of his own Son, to be a good end for us. Indeed, this is a high vocation, higher than a parish in Malibu, California, is the calling to share with people their significance, that they are not simply creatures of God, but they are redeemed creatures of God, bought with a price, with the concrete flesh and blood of God's very Son. Their story, their history has been redeemed and put on an end that will be God himself. This is an end worth seeking, worth bestowing. You'll note that this parable starts with God giving his gifts. And in a sense, it ends there, because there is no history without his giving. And it's our privilege as God's servants to come and give God, to take an infant with no future, and to baptize that infant into the very Son of God, to bury that child with Jesus Christ so that he or she might rise with Christ. Think of the privilege that is yours in handling that water and in speaking the name of the triune God. This is not simply a private journey, but this is the church's journey. This is the host throughout all history, and today we especially recall St. Andrew. Every single saint given this gift of God's grace will come to eternity delighted to see God, returning to him those gifts with great gratitude and with increase. For as Luther said, every single Christian, regardless of how humble, the farmer plowing the field in faith, produces gifts for God, good things given from grateful, penitent hearts. And that's where it will end. As we bring people to that font and to that altar, these hands so unworthy are given history itself. The flesh and blood of Christ. Take and eat. Take and drink. That's worth living for. That's worth working for. And to hold up the precious story that in Christ, born of the Blessed Virgin, we have the very Son of God on this planet, in the particularity of our flesh, redeeming us so that we might look forward to a good end. You know, St. Andrew's Day, according to one colleague, should be observed with bagpipes and with a certain nod towards Scotland. I did a little research, and that's true at least from 1300 onwards. But prior to that, the church, particularly on St. Andrew's Day, celebrated the witness of Christ to the world and a desire to share the end that he had won for all men with all who had not yet heard it. This day, we have heard it. We will enjoy the end of our journey because we already see it. We see it in the face of Christ, who has loved us and from the cross given him his very body and blood for our redemption. And in his resurrection, he has gone to await us, await that great day when the word gets out throughout the world that the end is now upon us. Christ will return, and all the saints will rejoice. Rejoice this day that it's your great privilege to go to men and women in need, and when they say, "Where will this all end?" you will say, "In Christ, in his holy body and blood, in his holy presence when he returns." And that day will be life forever, without tears, without sorrow. It's worth living for every moment until we join Christ forever. Amen.